Seated. Good morning, St. Luke's. You know, I wonder sometimes if it's some sort of cosmic joke that I get to be the one that preaches on Trinity Sunday. That I get to be the one that talks to you about what the Holy Trinity means and what it means for us in our lives. And I'm sure that you all know that answer before I even preach. So maybe we should start with Amen. I wonder, every time I hear this gospel, what it is that you hear. So if there's something from the gospel that you just heard proclaimed, one thing that stands out to you, what is it? Go ahead and shout it out. Let's be Baptist today. We're outside. What is it that you heard? For God so loved the world. What else? That's it. It's one of the most widely known verses in the Bible. Dare I say, one of the ones that's most often taken out of context, ones that's used for all sorts of reasons. Some of those are good, not all of them. Depending on how it is that you found yourself in the seat you're in today, whatever it is that brought you to this place, my guess is that you have encountered this particular verse, either spoken to you soothingly, are used as some way of enticing you to rethink whatever it is that you're doing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's an interesting reading. This week as I thought about it, what I realized is that my mind kept going back to a very particular place. It was the first semester in seminary for me. And growing up as a kid, one of the things that I don't want to say I was good at, but let's just say that I was good enough at it that I could be casual, is I didn't really ever find myself needing to study a whole tremendous amount in school. I felt like I kind of knew what was going on. I grasped it. I felt like I was a pretty decent writer and on most days okay speaking publicly. And so when I would prepare for classes and write something or turn something in, I didn't usually have to spend a tremendous amount of time on that to get what was a better than passing grade. And so there I was, my first semester in seminary, in a class with a professor that I had hoped to study with for so long. And there we were in our first assignment, of all things you might imagine, it was about pastoral care. Probably shouldn't tell you this story. I wrote a paper entitled, "What is Pastoral Care to Me?" And to write that paper, there was about 800 pages of material that I was supposed to read as background information. And here I was, the student who had never needed to study. So I thought. So like any good seminary student, I know I'm probably the only one, I skimmed that material, all those pages. So maybe I read 15 or 20. Came in, wrote my paper, everything turned in, and 2 days later, the professor that I worshiped brought that paper back to me with a low pass written on the top, and my little soul crumbled. It was the lowest grade that I had ever received on any assignment in my entire academic life. It was the lowest grade I would ever receive. And I remembered going to her office and saying, "Dr. Mercer, I just don't understand. You asked me to write a paper about what pastoral care is to me." And she said, "Son, you didn't read anything, did you?" The silence that sunk into that space right before I ask another question. "But Dr. Mercer, you asked me to tell you what pastoral care is to me. How can I have a low pass?" And she said, "Go and read what I assigned you to read. Write this paper again. Otherwise, you have received the grade befitting the work that you have turned in." Now, I rewrote that paper. It doesn't matter what I got on it, but let's say better than a low pass. I read all those things, and from that point forward, had a new relationship with a professor that I had always respected. And dare I say, she had a newfound respect for me. But there's something about that exchange that we all know. when you zoom away from this gospel that you know just that one line from everywhere in your soul, you know that one. You might zoom back and find that this gospel isn't about that at all, or maybe not at least entirely. Today's gospel is a story of one particular man, Nicodemus. This is a person that our text tells us and history proves to us had great power in his people, in his community, had great authority to speak and teach. He was the authority. And yet we meet him today by cover of night, asking what could be akin to a dumb question to Jesus. How can one be born again? Nicodemus asked that question because it's something he really didn't understand. Now, before we think of that as something akin to weakness, let's think about it very carefully. Think for yourself, when was the last time that something was presented to you that you didn't fully understand? What is required for you to find out more for yourself? That's a real question for us today. One of the confusions about church is that we think that this is a place where we gather because we all are certain, because we all know precisely what we believe, that we might even share those beliefs together. But here's the thing. Take a look to your left. Take a look to your right. Everyone you just looked at doesn't agree with you. Today, we get one of the most beautiful and gentle views of how God sees the world of question, of how God sees the world of curiosity, and how God pulls that into a more cosmic story that we call love. Nicodemus was a teacher. So how could Nicodemus, with all that authority, go to a public space in the broad daylight and ask a question? Nicodemus was the person people asked questions to. There's no shame at all in what he did. What he did is show us the pathway to safety that we, in the quiet and dark moments of our own souls, can approach our own God and ask questions, especially the ones that seem most obvious. How can one be born again? One can be born again by spirit. One can be born again by question. One can be born again by taking that risk, because this wasn't nothing that Nicodemus did. Anyone that might have seen him that night, anyone that might have seen him might have reported that back, and that would have meant the end of his career. But what we know of Nicodemus is that nothing ended for him this day. What he found was a closer relationship with God, a closer relationship with Jesus, a new understanding because he took a risk. And then he continued with his life. And maybe that's the other thing that we're meant to know today. One of the other great myths of church is that as soon as we discover our faith, as soon as we discover a way of being with God, that everything will change, that our whole life will change. My friends, you could follow me anywhere through my regular life, and I assure you that you will find that that is not true. We are God's beloved children, our texts tell us today, born by spirit and water, reborn by that spirit, joint heirs with Christ. And if heirs with Christ, then heirs with God. We are God's beloved children, no different than how we are in this exact moment. Nicodemus didn't change, and you don't have to either. He kept his place. He kept his place in life, his work, his vocation. What was different about Nicodemus was the way that he saw the world from that moment. And that's our invitation still today, all these years later. You are a people of faith, reborn. So look around you at this city. Look around you at the people passing on the street, looking at us quizzically. Look at them, because they are God's beloved child too. And they are inviting you to ask some questions some questions about how it is that our faith calls us to live in this moment, in this time, when everything feels most fragile, when everything feels at risk, and ask us to risk something of our own safety, to move into the midst of them, and to look for ways for this world to be better, not because we are different, but because we see differently. Because we are reborn, and that means that every fiber of our being calls us to change the world, to invite a change with those around us, to take that risk, to hear that question, the one that sits there for you today as you wonder whether it's safe for you to go and ask your questions. Who will I send, God asks? Who will go for us? You get to decide. Will you answer, here am I, Lord, send me? Will you take that risk this day? Will you follow it into this city and back to your homes and to all the places where you encounter someone else? Will you be sent? Will you be God's love in this world? Will you change the way you see this world and keep taking risk for Jesus? Amen.